about 2,000.
Oh, you're taking it to 2,500. You want to call this sale?
2,500 up.
3, 3,500, 4. Keep the paddles out. We got an after party to get to. Sold, 8,000, 5.
$9,500.
10,000. Sold, 10,000.
Are you in?
Are you in?
Are you in?
At 10,000 selling. What is this thing about this 10,000 barrier? Come on, let's go. You can't believe it, can you? No.
13,000. 15,000. Sold, 20,000. Well, you know, we're hoping for the seven figures. We're at $957,000.
Panel 7, panel 3, panel 2, panel 140, panel 206, panel 181. That's $60,000. We've made $1,013,000.
Welcome to this special podcast, the Willamette Valley Pinot Noir Auction 2019. This is our second year covering this event, and it was fantastic to be there. The auction earned over $1 million, a 29% increase over last year. So sit back and take a listen to the people, the fun, and the auction 2019.
Hi, my name is Ian Birch. I'm the winemaker at Archery Summit. Welcome to the Willamette Valley Pinot Noir Wine Auction 2019. In this room, we're surrounded by some of the best winemakers on the planet Earth. And a big reason I say that is because I love Oregon wine. You should come out sometime.
I'm here with David Adelsheim. Adelsheim.
Doesn't go together. You got to put the S at the beginning.
So it's Adelsheim. Heim is home in German, so you got to get home in there.
Not shown.
It's called a glottal stop in linguistics. Adelsheim.
All right.
Thank you for the interview.
Yeah, what a lovely day. Either way, good to see you again. How you been doing?
I've been great, Ray. Thanks.
This has been a great event so far. We've had really a lot of fun, but met some really incredible, very hospitable winemakers. My compliments.
We have to give them lessons in hospitality, but they're coming along. Yes.
Well, you know, they come from the woods around here. That's how it works, right? So how long have you been making wine in Oregon?
We've been making wine in Oregon, or period. We made a little home wine in 76.
Really?
Yeah, the birds ate everything in 77, so the first commercial harvest was actually 78.
What are you thinking when you taste the 2017?
2017 is a bit of a throwback to the 70s and 80s, before every vintage almost was quite warm. This was a cool vintage, and the wines that we're tasting today really show it. The fruit is much less ripe, the body is not as rich, it's not as sort of blown up. They're really, really much more like old style wines. I just love this tasting today.
Yeah, obviously you've seen several vintages.
A couple.
Yeah. I didn't want to say a whole lot, you know.
A few since 78, yeah.
But for you to see this event grow, this has got to be pretty darn exciting.
Oh, absolutely. No, the event was set up, yes, to earn money to market the Willamette Valley, but it was just as much an event to bring people to our area who otherwise had no excuse to come here. And so some of the top retailers, some of the top club owners, club managers, some of the top restaurateurs in America are now coming to this event because it is a business purpose and they get to have fun. And it usually doesn't pour rain.
Usually.
Yeah. For our listeners who want to learn a little bit about you and your winery, how would they do that online?
They could do that pretty easily at www.adelsheim.com. I can't spell that, so don't ask me. But
you do pronounce it well.
But I do pronounce it perfectly, really, yeah.
I'll get there in about 10 years, I promise.
Okay, well, we'll do this annually, and we'll see how the progress goes. Yeah.
Thank you, David. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks.
I'm here with Spencer Spetnagel. Spencer is a winemaker at Durant Vineyards. How are you doing, Spencer?
Quite well. Easing into the morning.
Yeah, easing in. The room is already pretty darn crowded. You got a lot of noise going on. So there's some excitement about the auction, right?
Every year, yes. This has been a great event since we started it 3 years ago.
Is there any kind of a feel for what this vintage is going to be? to be like?
I know the 17 was a gorgeous vintage, really lovely acid. It's definitely built for the long term. So I think the wines are still a little tight, but they will develop over the next decade or two. It should be gorgeous. Earlier this week, I opened it just to check in before the event. The bottle was open for 3 days, and last night I drank it with my wife, and it was still in a gorgeous, gorgeous place. So there's plenty of tension, and the acid and tannins are beautifully balanced, that it is going to last a good long time.
Spencer, for our listeners, how would they find out about Durant Vineyards? What is your website?
RedRidgeFarms.com. It may be updated soon. It is, just got changed. We just rebranded. It is DurantOregon.com.
Great. Thanks for talking. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good luck today.
Thank you. So I'm here with Donna Morris and Bill Sweat. How are you both doing?
We're great.
We're doing great.
What else could we be doing that would be more fun on a rainy April day in Oregon?
Is it raining? I hadn't noticed.
It's our beautiful sunshine. It's spring sunshine.
It's rainy, but I mean, this is pretty much a typical winter for you guys, right?
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah, we get most of our rain between October and May.
Yeah, it's actually, it has not been that wet a winter or spring, quite frankly. So the fact that we're getting some now is helpful.
Well, I'm going to direct this question to you specifically, Donna. Tell me, what do you think about the 2017 vintage?
Oh, you know what? They are just elegant and silky and just really quite beautiful. Yeah, we're very excited about the vintage, very excited about this wine in particular, because we think our old vines, and that's the basis on which this wine is made, always shows sort of the most elegant expression of the wines that we make.
And this is your first auction lot, right?
It is, yeah. This is the first year that we've participated, so exciting to be here.
Excellent. Well, I hope you guys do very well. For our listeners who'd like to learn about you, what is your website?
Oh, it's www.winderly.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Well, next up is RJ Lint. And RJ, you are the owner of Plum Hill. Is that correct?
That's correct. Plum Hill Vineyards in Gaston, Oregon.
Now, this is going to be a dumb question, but how did it get the name Plum Hill?
Well, Plum Hill, our first original property was on Plum Hill Lane. And it sounded like a good name for a vineyard. So we planted the vineyard and took the name from the street.
Oh, I would have assumed that you just had a lot of plum trees. What a dummy I am. So tell me about your 2017 vintage. What are your thoughts about
it? The 17 vintage to me is a typical odd year vintage for Oregon wines. It has a lot of acidity, a little lighter in color. It got a lot of that raspberry and light fruit kind of things.
What makes you say a typical odd year vintage?
Well, I believe the Oregon drinkers are either odds or evens. The even years tend to be drier. They tend to have a lot more alcohol. The odd years tend to be more acidic and lighter in color. And it's because those 2 years, the evens are warm and hot, and the odds seem to be cooler and wetter.
So you really got it down, don't you?
You know, I make this stuff up.
And what does RJ stand for?
Well, my wife says it's Real Jerk, but it stands for Richard James.
For our listeners who want to learn about you online, what's your website?
It's the www.plumhillwine.com.
Excellent. RJ, real pleasure meeting you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
So I was just talking to RJ Lint, and now I'm talking to Shannon Kerrigan, and Shannon is the winemaker at Plum Hill. How are you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing great. How are you, Ray?
I'm good. Having a good time today. What are you thinking about the 2017 vintage? As a winemaker, what are your thoughts on it?
It really surprised me. At first, I was a little worried about it. We had a huge crop load come in, and it got a little overwhelming, so we called it the dilemma. But after going through and tasting through all of our wines, I was pleasantly surprised, and I think the acids are going to hold up real well and end up making a really nice age-worthy wine.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to that. Now, RJ was saying that you're the youngest winemaker in Willamette Valley, and I'm certainly not dumb enough to ask you your age, but is that a verifiable fact?
It hasn't been checked out, but being 24 years old, I think that's probably pretty close to true.
See how I played that? I managed to get you to say that without, I would have never guessed you were 24, so that's very cool.
Yeah. Most people probably guess I'm usually in my early 30s, but I got into wine young, and I love it, and it's fun.
How long have you been a winemaker?
Probably a year and a half now, but I started started off 2 years ago, started learning a lot more, and now I'm making it full on.
Congratulations, that's cool. Shannon, it was nice talking to you. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great talking to you too, Ray.
I'm here with Ian Birch, and Ian is the winemaker there, correct?
That's correct. I've been making wine here since June, so 2018 onwards is all me.
Oh, wow, so you're a brand new winemaker.
I am. I'm scratching 10 months right now. Yeah, I started up at Evening Land over in Salem, and I worked for Scott Paul as well in Carlton. But I was really excited to be in the Dundee Hills. Went to school at Cal Poly and had traveled all over the world, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand. I think I fell in love with wine in the Loire right after Cal Poly, flying into Charles de Gaulle, and I barely even spoke the language, didn't understand the lady that was talking to me on the airplane. That was a very formative experience for me. But since then, I've worked in Burgundy, built a passion for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and absolutely love Oregon. You know, I owe a lot to people that have sort of chiseled a path through Oregon, but I feel like we're embarking on something different. I mean, this auction, for example, we're hoping to make some money here. I mean, I believe that we're trying to shoot for $1 million this year, and I hope we get that. And it's efforts like this that increase the visibility of Oregon. As much as I like to say that everybody on the East Coast knows what Oregon wine is, I can't. And I think it's organizations like the Willamette Valley Wineries Association and the efforts of everybody here that generate money so that we can sort of toot the horn and get ourselves out there. And it's really exciting to be part of this movement.
Tell me what you think about the 2017 vintage.
I think it's delicious. Of all the recent vintages, I think it's probably on the prettier side. 16 for me, I think there's like a nice underlying ripeness, nice acidity. And 17s, I think, follows suit. I think a lot of the wines that we have in Dundee have like a really nice acid edge. I think there's a freshness associated with them, but there's a lot. There's a lot behind the scenes. I feel like the wines have a way of giving that may not meet the eye, but I find them very complete. You're always looking for the crowd-pleasing thing. Do they taste good now? Will they taste good later? And I think we hit them both.
Excellent. And for our listeners who want to learn about you guys online, what's your website?
So archerysummit.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, of course.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks.
I hope you do well.
You too.
I'm here with Tom Fitzpatrick, and Tom is the winemaker for Aloro Vineyards.
I am, indeed.
Tom, how long have you been a winemaker there?
I've been the winemaker at Aloro since 2010. I've been making wine for about 16 to 17 years, but at Aloro since 2010.
So tell me what you think about the 2017 vintage.
Actually, it was a special year. We've had a long string of fairly warm early years. An early year means that the bud break is early, and that means harvest is early, which shifts the ripening period into what for Oregon is kind of the warmest time of the year here. But in 2017, we had a slightly later bud break and a slightly later harvest. And so our ripening period was shifted, you know, not quite as far forward as a classic Oregon vintage, but a little bit later. So we were kind of hanging through a little cooler conditions. I think these kind of cooler conditions during ripening allow us to retain some of the subtleties of aroma in the wine. So I think the wines kind of have some of what a warmer year delivers in terms of fullness, roundness, weight, but some of those kind of subtle aromatics and complexity.
So for our listeners who want to learn a little bit about Aloro online, what's your website?
It's www.alorovineyard.com.
Great. Thanks for taking the time, Tom.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I'm here with Shirley Brooks and Eugenia Keegan, and we are here again at the auction, well, actually the pre-auction events. How are you both doing?
Just great, holding up. How about you, Shirley?
I'm fantastic. I think we've had an amazing kickoff. The energy is already high.
There seems to be a lot of excitement. There seems to be a little more confidence in the air.
I think we're feeling like after, this is year number four, that you know how events sort of make it or break it in year number three, and we feel a lot of energy from our bidders and our vintners, and everybody's pretty excited right now.
But also the thing is more and more people are getting to know that Oregon Pinot and Chardonnay is a major contender here.
Well, Chardonnay is an element for sure. Pinot Noir remains the focus. I mean, of the total 92 lots, 86 are Pinot Noir, but Chardonnay deservedly has a place in the Willamette Valley Auction. So we're excited about the growth. We have more lots this year than we did last year too, and I think some of that is part of the excitement. We've got some new brands in the mix, and they're kind of feeding off of us old timers, so it's growing.
The Chardonnay lots are a lot of fun too. We're doing them as collaborative lots, and so the chairs or former chairs, I call us antique chairs when you're when you're done, but we're allowed to do these collaborative lots, and so these are truly one of a kind. You're never going to get these two or three in the case of Shirley's Lot collaborating on in a single wine like that. So it's absolutely one of a kind.
I love seeing your excitement about that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, the seminar this morning was fabulous. One of the best I've ever been to, and I complimented you, Shirley, before. But I think one of the things that really amazed me was the idea that Oregon's really all in when it comes to biodynamic wine farming. That's fantastic.
Biodynamics, sustainability, organic, live, which is our local sustainability project. The focus on stewardship in the vineyard, because we farm at the northern end of extremes for Pinot Noir production, and if you are not in the vineyard, a vigneron, a wine grower, you will not make great wine in Oregon. You have to be in the vineyard.
And I feel like that sentiment also derives from a sort of greater philosophy in Oregon as a whole, because we live in such a beautiful place, and there's been sort of a deep-rootedness about protecting it overall, and not just from our grape-growing perspective, but enjoying all of the things that many people have moved here for. And one of the reasons for the auction's birth was about giving people another reason to come here and be here at a time of year that maybe you wouldn't have thought of. Like, I like to call it the birth, right? We're at the start. You know, things are budding out. It's raining out there, but if I'm looking over my shoulder, guess what? The sun's kind of peeking out, too.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be a part of this. So, again, I thank you for that. But most importantly, for our listeners to learn about either one of you online, what is your website?
Elkcove.com. E-L-K-C-O-V-E.
And I'm with Jackson Family Wines, so jacksonfamilywines.com.
Thank you for letting me corral both of you. This is a rare treat. I really appreciate that. And again, good luck.
Well, thanks for joining us, Ray. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, I'm here with Breanne Day. And Breanne Day, you make Day Wines, correct?
Correct. Yes, I'm the winemaker and owner of Day Wines.
I guess the first thing I want to ask you, so was it, you know, kind of a thing in your head that eventually you wanted to get into wine, or was that just something that came along later?
It started pretty early. My folks moved to this area just kind of between wine country and Portland when I was 16, and I first got my car and I'd take drives out to wine country because I thought it was very exotic and romantic, and I read a lot of books, and wine country was very appealing to me, but I didn't really expect that that was the trajectory I'd take, because my family wasn't involved in wine, and I always thought that wine was kind of a thing that was more passed down. And I decided to travel around the world, and I went to wine producing regions for several years, and through the course of that journey decided that wine making was the part of the industry that appealed the most to me. And so I came home at the beginning of 2008 and started interning, started learning how to make wine, and then I started my brand in 2012.
What are your thoughts on the 2017 vintage, which is what we're featuring here today?
Well, to be honest, 2017 was a bit of a blur for me because I was pregnant that year, and my son was born 4 weeks before harvest started in August. When I think about 2017, a lot of what comes to my mind, the 17 vintage was like very much like the 15 vintage, the 16 vintage, and in some ways the 18 vintage, in that it's the new norm for Oregon of being a little bit of a warmer vintage. No problem with getting ripeness on the fruit. Really, the real obstacle is picking at the right time so that the acids are intact and a part of the wine. And I think that across the Willamette Valley, we're really learning how to do that, because from what I've tried from everybody, it's really high quality and not overripe the way you would think it could be in a hot year. Vintages like 15, 16, 17, and now 18 are tasting really good young, but I do think that the acids have been present enough that we're going to also see some ageability.
And do you have a tasting room?
Yeah. Day Wines is on 99W in Dundee.
And for our listeners who want to learn a little bit about you online, what's your website?
www.daywines.com.
Brianne, thanks very much for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm here with James Fry, and James, you are the owner as well as the winemaker for Tresadum, right?
That is correct. That is correct. Yep. I founded Tresadum back in 2003 with my wife, and I've been making the wine since we started making wines in our winery in 2007. Yeah, we're 100% estate fruit. So I have a vineyard that I live at. It's called our Coast Range Vineyard. It's in the Yamhill Carlton AVA. And then we have another vineyard on Ribbon Ridge where our winery is built. And so we take all of our fruit from those two sites. And then we have a little site in the Dundee Hills that we call our Wickman Dundee Vineyard. So three vineyards, and that's where we get all of our fruit.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Northern California, but never drank wine until I graduated college and fell in love with wine and planted a little vineyard in my backyard. And when our kids were born, Tristan and Tatum, who the winery is named after, we bought a bigger piece of land and put some vines in the ground and thought we'd try to make a go of it. So far, so good.
Do you have a tasting room at all?
Yes, we do. We're open 7 days a week. When I'm not making wine, I actually paint. So we have a full art gallery at the winery as well. So I spent about 8 months of the year making wine and about 4 months of the year making art.
You have achieved balance, sir.
Yeah, no, it keeps me sane, right? I'm not always making wine and I'm not always making art. So the combination kind of works for me.
Excellent. And for our listeners who want to learn about you online, what's your website?
It's Tresadum.com. So Tresaetum.com.
Great. James, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. All right. Enjoy the rest of the day.
How can you not?
Exactly.
Nice. Tell me about this wine. It's grapes.
All right. I'm here with Scott and Annie Schulling. You hosted our dinner last night, which was fabulous.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. How are you both doing today?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
We're awake. It was a good party last night.
It was a good party. It went late. And we're still trying to figure out, I don't know if we ever posed the question to you, are there any Sasquatch hanging around that particular B&B at all?
If they were, that would be a lovely little watering hole for them, for sure.
If you get a chance, look at the Willamette Valley map. There's a multicolored map out front as you come in.
Yeah. There
is a Sasquatch on that map. So if you can find it, it's extra credit.
I get a picture of it. Does that mean like I get a drink of wine?
Absolutely, yeah. You get 92 drinks of wine from all of the 92 producers here at the Willamette Valley Auction.
And speaking of the auction, we should take a moment and actually talk about your wine. And the name of your wine is Raptor Ridge.
Raptors are birds of prey, not dinosaurs. So hawks, owls, kestrels, eagles, all of which we have at the vineyard. Our Raptor Ridge auction lot this year is one of the 14 vineyards that we farm. It's called Atticus Vineyard. And Annie named our auction lot I'll Fly Away. How did you come up with that?
That's kind of a play on the concept of us being Raptor Ridge, and also Atticus Wine is named after Atticus Finch, so a bird there as well.
That's
and
correct.
I'll Fly Away happens to be one of our favorite songs, and we just made the connection through that.
How do you see your ageability for this? I mean, do you have a crystal ball, for lack of a better way to put it?
First of all, I think ageability is driven by the AVA, where it's grown, the vintage, and then the producer. So the land before the hand, you're going to be tasting the 2017 vintage, which we've had a string of very warm, crowd-pleasing, ripe vintages, but the 17 is a little bit tighter, meaning it has more focus and acidity, the tannins are riper, but well-structured. All of that drives ageability. To answer your specific question, I think these wines are going to peak in about 7 to 10 years, so around 2027 they should be hitting their stride, and they could actually be great for 20 years. We've recently been opening some of our 20-year-old wines from Raptor Ridge, and I'm glad we're opening them. It's not worth keeping them much longer, but I'm surprised at the tertiary aromas, the complexity, and still that freshness of fruit that comes from being grown in this cool climate. It's our silver anniversary this year.
Right, you said that. Congratulations. So I'm just always curious about how much wine you keep behind per vintage, because that's not easy, because in the end, you're here to sell it. So you can go back and see what it is.
Annie joined me in this venture a little over 20 years ago, and I was making the mistake of selling it all when I was young and in startup mode. And one of the disciplines that she brought to my life was every time we bottle a cuvée, we put away at least 5 cases, if not more. So our original winery, which is in the horse barn that we converted to Raptor Ridge number 1, is now our library storage. I have probably 2,000 cases of back vintages there. So it's kind of fun to go visit these old friends and remember what was going on in the vintage, the weather, and other fun events.
So do you have a tasting room?
We do, yes.
If people would like to come and visit you, is it by appointment or could they just come and see you?
We're open daily from 11 to 4. If you'd like a private appointment and sit down tasting, we can also accommodate that.
Great, excellent. And for people who'd like to learn more, what is your website?
www.raptorridgewinery.com. Put a bird on it.
Guys, thanks very much. And again, thanks for a fabulous night. We had a great time.
Here, cheers.
Our pleasure.
I'm here with Alfredo Apolloni of Apolloni Vineyards. How are you doing, Alfredo?
Super. Really well. Thank you.
This is a great event today. A lot of people. Any gut feeling about what this auction is going to do for you today?
Oh, this is a fantastic event. I mean, for us, this is one of our favorite wine events in Oregon. We're here with a lot of the producers that we love, great producers of Pinot Noir, and it just has such a wonderful feel. It's a collaborative venture to raise awareness for what the Valley does.
You know, what are your feelings about the 2017 vintage? Which is what everybody's pouring today.
You know, I think it's actually quite a remarkable vintage. You know, at first when we started making it, we thought it was going to be quite light and delicate. And what I've tasted a whole spectrum from big fruit-focused wines to really pretty, elegant, light, old-world style Pinots as well. So that's the wonderful thing about this kind of event. You can just taste a whole spectrum of Oregon in one place.
Do you have a tasting room?
We have a beautiful tasting room on the way out to Tillamook, the coast. We're straight west from the city of Portland, so a little bit at the north end of the Willamette Valley, and we're there 7 days a week, noon to 5, 11 to 5. Yeah.
And if our listeners would like to learn a little bit more about you online, what is your website?
So it's apolloni.com. That's like Apollo, N-I.com. Not like Apple. And 20 years we've been up there, so it's been super, super fun.
Well, have a good time.
Thank you, Ray. Super. We're so excited. Salute.
Hi, my name is Ray.
Hi, Ray.
I'm from Life Between the Vines.
Okay.
And Alfredo told me I need to come over and talk to you because evidently you're from Wisconsin.
I am from Wisconsin, hence the cheese curd.
I noticed those, yes. What? I'm here with Ann Hubach, and Heliotera Wines is the name of your winery, correct?
That is correct.
I didn't want to call it the wrong name. Sorry. So first off, I understand you're from Wisconsin, and what part of the state are you from?
That's correct. I'm from Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
And as many of our listeners know, we're based in Milwaukee, so we have something in common. You're the only winemaker I've ever seen that has cheese curds at your barrel.
That's correct. So today we're at the barrel auction, and my barrel auction lot is called the Midwest Salt of the Earth because I'm being from Wisconsin. The people who grew the fruit, the Bjornsons, they are from Minnesota and North Dakota. So you get a combination of a triad of Midwesterners. So I figure, why not draw people in with a little cheese curd and begin to tell the story about the Midwesterners? I feel like it's also embodied within the wine that I'm showing today because, you know, we're hardworking. We want this wine to really show a lot of texture and a lot of depth and but be true and honest.
And do you have a tasting room?
I do, actually. So I have an urban winery in Southeast Portland, and we are I also have a cidery, and so I have a winery and cidery combined in the same production space that we are in a month actually opening our shared wine and cider bar. Yeah, exactly.
And for our listeners who'd like to learn about you online, do you have a website?
Of course. It's HelioterraWines.com.
Thank you very much. It was a real pleasure meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm here with Adam Campbell, and Adam is the owner and winemaker of Elk Cove Vineyards. How are you doing, Adam?
Really good. Thank you.
Well, you know, I was just complimenting you on the seminar you guys had the other day. You know, putting something like that together and making it accessible for everybody is quite a big deal. I mean, but how many years' experience do you have in this?
Oh, gosh. I've been, it's a family business, so I've been with my folks since the 70s, but I really came back in the mid-90s to start taking over for my father and winemaking, and I run the business. business, and I love doing seminars. I love the education piece, and it's always fun to show wines and talk about them. We've really grown. We're an all in a state winery, so we own 400 acres that we farm, sustainably farm, mostly in the Yamhill Carlton area, but also in the Chehalem Mountains and a few other AVAs. We just love what we do. We love growing grapes, and we love making wine.
For our listeners, do you have a tasting room?
We do. We have a tasting room that's open every day from 10 to 5, and we love hosting visitors. So, yeah, we have a great website as well, so if any of your listeners want to hop on to elkcove.com, we'll make it happen.
Adam, thanks a lot for the time. I hope you do very well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm here with Griffin Brown, and you are the winemaker at Duck Pond Vineyard, correct?
That is correct. Duck Pond Cellars.
Tell me a little bit about Duck Pond. How long have you guys been around?
Duck Pond Cellars has been around for quite a while. It was owned by the Fries family originally. The Great Oregon Wine Company has now just taken over Duck Pond Cellars. We purchased it just last September, and we're still making Duck Pond Cellars through there. We're also bringing in the Great Oregon Wine Company brands through Duck Pond Cellars. Duck Pond brand has been around since the early 90s.
So tell me, do you guys have a tasting room?
Yeah, we have a tasting room. We're located right on 99 when you're coming into Dundee.
And if our listeners want to find out about you online, what is your website?
DuckPondCellars.com, I believe.
He says with raw confidence.
Yeah.
Thank you. You are off the hook now.
Thank you.
So we're here with Mike McNally, and Mike, you own a Fairsing Vineyard, is that correct?
Co-own Fairsing Vineyard. My wife's a key part of it.
So we had a great party last night. Thank you for having us there, and the food was great, the wine was awesome. The thing about these events is some of the crazy wines we get to taste. That's got to be a real thrill when you get to present that to people.
Well, we love to be able to present a whole diverse set of wines, especially the older vintages like the party we had last night.
Yeah, that was fun. So tell me, what do you think about the 2017 vintage? Anything specific about it?
Well, 2017 was a warm year. That would be the key, but it did cool off at the end, so we got a good set in of the flavor and aroma compounds. The phenolics are there. The acids were pretty well balanced, so I think it's going to be a wonderful vintage.
Do you have a tasting room, Mike?
Yes, we have a tasting room on top of a hill, 800-foot elevation. You can see the whole Willamette Valley. Cascades on one side, Coast Range on the other side, Ribbon Ridge, Chehalem, Dundee Hills, Eola Amity, Van Duzer Corridor. It's probably one of the most scenic tasting rooms in the valley.
Nice. I've never heard anybody say that before. Sorry, no, I couldn't resist. Are you by appointment, or can people just come by and visit?
No, you don't need an appointment. We're open 11 to 5, 7 days a week.
Excellent. And for our listeners who'd like to learn about you online, what is your website?
FairsingVineyard.com.
Easy enough. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm here with John Tomaselli. And John, you're the winemaker of Toriumore Winery, correct?
So I'm one of two winemakers. I'm the associate winemaker. It's my 13th vintage, the 2017s.
How long has the winery itself been around?
1993 was our first vintage. Started out small. Now we do about 10,000 cases.
Let's talk specifically about the 2017 vintage. What are your thoughts on that, especially being a winemaker?
Oh, wow. You know, that's funny. I've been going around talking to some of my peers about that. And one of the guys said, vintage of the decade? I said, wow, the decade's not over. But well, I love the 17s. I really do. Great balance of, good fruit, but a nice structure. Not doesn't present itself as overly ripe. I think really nice stuff. I love what I have.
So do you guys have a tasting room?
We do. We have a tasting room in Dundee, open almost all 363 days out of the year, 11 to 5. And then we have another tasting room in Woodinville, Washington.
Cool. And can people just walk in, or is it by appointment?
I'll walk in.
And, for our listeners who want to learn about you online, what's your website?
Toriumorewinery.com.
John, a real pleasure meeting you. A pleasure to meet a fellow Clevelander.
And go Browns.
Go Browns. We got a chance. We got a chance.
I know we do.
I'm here at Cromwassee Vineyards, and I'm here with Sophia McKay. How are you doing, Sophia?
Very good. How about you?
Good. I'm really curious about the name. Tell me about that. How'd you come up with that?
Yeah, the name is it's a French name that means crimson, and we wanted to name it as a French name just because we want to honor the heritage of the grape that is from France.
Excellent. That sounds cool. How long have you been in the business?
Yeah, so we started planting our vineyard in 2012, so we're kind of new in the valley. So our first harvest was 2014. Now we're about at the fifth harvest. Yeah, we're located in the Dundee Hills, AVA.
And are you the winemaker? Is your husband the winemaker?
Well, we are winemakers, but also we have our enologists that help help us to make the wines. Yeah, we have tasting by appointment in our place in the Dundee Hills. And when you mentioned about like where I was from, I'm actually one of the few Latino, winemakers and growers in the valley. So I'm very excited that, you know, that's kind of like a nice difference.
Oh, yeah, I would be too. And I'm sure there's going to be more as time goes on.
Yes, I hope so.
And for our listeners to learn a little bit about you online, do you have a website?
Yes, we have a website. It's www.carmosvineyard.com.
Excellent. Sophia, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ray. Thank you.
I'm here with Jessica Entworth, and you are the GM of Angela Estate. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We had an event last night with you and a number of winemakers, and it was fabulous. The best part is the hospitality here is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we really try and make an effort to make this event special and have it be an incredible experience. We've worked really hard on this. It takes us a year to put this together, and I think everybody's deeply committed to making sure that, you know, a lot of times the auction is the first Willamette experience that people have had, and we want to make sure it's memorable and something that'll make you keep coming back and fall in love with it like all of us have.
Oh yeah, it's definitely memorable, that's for sure. So tell me about Angela Estate.
Angela Estate has been around since 2006. It's owned by Anthony and Angela Beck, who also own Grand Beck Winery in South Africa. So we kind of have a unique situation with South African ownership here, and we're making Pinot Noir and Chardonnay on one hemisphere, mainly in sparkling, and then Pinot Noir and Chardonnay here in still wines. And so it started in 2006. Our vineyards were planted in steps 2001, 3, all the way through 2007 by Ken Wright and Mark Gould in the Yamhill Carlton AVA. And we have about 100 acres planted now, mostly Pinot Noir, and then we're adding Chardonnay this year.
And did you tell me that you were just in the process of building a tasting room?
We actually are building a winery first. So we have our Abbott Claim property, which is right in Yamhill Carlton off of Bayless Road. It has a wonderful history there and a really beautiful opportunity for us to make a winery. And so we're doing that. It should be done by May of 2020, and then a tasting room will follow behind it.
Excellent. And for our listeners, if they'd like to learn a little bit more about you online, how would they do that? What's your website?
Our website is www.angelaestate.com. We have a tasting room in Dundee currently right now, and then more to come. We're just growing at an amazing clip, and we hope you come and see us.
You did that very well.
Thanks.
And you have a beautiful smile.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. I'll let you get back to the crowd.
Thanks, Ray.
Sure. So I'm here with Eric Fullerton, and the winery is called Fullerton Wines.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about your winery.
Yeah, so we started commercially in 2012. My son, who's born in Denmark, my wife and our family moved back to Oregon in 97. We had a discussion between my wife and me whether we should be in wine country or in the city. We ended up on the edge of the city and wine country in Beaverton on Cooper Mountain, where we today have a small patch of Chardonnay planted. Our son, he got the wine bug when he was 18, and he took an education at U of O, but after that, he decided to become a winemaker. So he worked at Penrash 2 years, went to New Zealand and made a crush with Drylands, Sauvignon Blanc, and then he came back and worked with Bergstrom. We started out in the Southeast Wine Collective in 2012, did 300 cases the first year. Today our run rate is about 8,000 cases. We make our wines in Corvallis, we grow some Chardonnay, and we buy all of our Pinot Noir. We have single vineyards from all of the AVAs in the Willamette Valley, and have our taste room downtown Portland on Northwest Pettigrove at 1966 Northwest Pettigrove in Slaptop.
And I assume you have a website. What is that?
It is www.fullertonwines.com.
Excellent. Well, Eric, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you, Ray.
I'm here with Anthony Van Nice, and I'm going to ask you to pronounce the name of the winery for me.
Solena Estate.
Oh, Solena, just like your name, it's pronounced the same way.
Exactly, just like it's spelled.
Yeah, okay. I don't catch on so quick, so how are you doing today?
Good, good. Yeah, Solena means sun and moon. It's like sol and luna, so it's a combination of those two words.
And how long have you been making wine?
My first vintage was 1995. So I was a college student at Lewis and Clark College, and I heard about a winery that was opening up. And I went to work for Archery Summit Winery as they were building the winery around us, and just fell in love with the industry and haven't turned back. Met some winemakers from around the world, and I followed them to the back home. So I worked for them in Burgundy and Australia and New Zealand and Napa, and then settled back here in Oregon. So now I've been in Oregon over 20 years.
What are your thoughts on the 2017 vintage?
Yeah, I love the 2017s. I've had an opportunity to taste a lot of our friends' 2017s the last couple days, which has been really fun. They seem to be very bright. It was a warmer than average year, but it's still, we were able to preserve that acidity. And so the wines are very lively, bright. There's still good lushness of fruit, so the tannin and the fruit are in balance with the acid. But it reminds me a little bit more of a classic Oregon vintage that we haven't had for a few years. So it's fun to see a return to, you know, that classic Oregon balance of fruit and acid.
Do you have a tasting room?
We do. We're outside of Yamhill. We have a beautiful tasting room overlooking the coastal mountain range. Great views out on our deck, and we love hosting people out there. It's a very popular tasting room.
Is that by appointment, or can people just wander on in?
It's open to the public. So we're open 7 days a week, 11 to 5.
Excellent. And for our listeners who want to learn about you online, what is your website?
It's solanaestate.com.
Anthony, this was a lot of fun. Thanks very much again for having us back here.
It was a pleasure. Great meeting you, Ray.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm here with Mary Jo Lee, and we met last year at auction. You are with Willamette Valley Vineyards.
Hi, nice to see you again, Ray.
Nice to see you. So I guess the very first question I want to ask, which I've asked a lot of people, is what do you think about the 2017 vintage?
We're producing some Pinot Noirs that, although it was a little cooler, leaner year, they're very lively with great acidity and real brightness of fruit. So we're very happy with the elegance of the Pinots we're producing.
What I've been tasting has been very approachable young. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I wanted to tell you, one of the wines that we're featuring today is the Oregon Solidarity wine. It's our rosé. Jim Bruneau and Christine Clare partnered up with King Estate, went down to the Rogue Valley to help rescue some of the canceled contracts. We collaborated on producing a new label together, and 100% of the net proceeds is going towards supporting those Rogue Valley growers that were affected by the canceled contracts.
What is your website for our listeners if they want to learn about you?
It's www.wvv.com.
It was nice seeing you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, I'm here with Chris Birch, and Chris is the winemaker for Coelho. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yep, Coelho, yeah.
Coelho, that sounds better than my pronunciation. Where did the name come from?
Coelho actually is Portuguese for rabbit, and that's the owner's last name, so it's kind of how we got our logo and design, so our last name means rabbit in Portuguese.
So tell me about how you see the 2017 wines playing out.
The 2017 wines for us in the Willamette Valley were really spectacular vintage in the sense that by comparison to 16, it was actually a warm vintage, but a different kind of warm than 16. In 16, we had a lot of heat spikes right towards the end of harvest. And then 17, it was just a very nice kind of elongated growing year where we had the same amount of degree days, but we didn't have the heat spikes kind of, you know, during the growing season. And we had like this very kind of classic Oregon warm days, cool nights. So we had what we call diurnal shift, you know, in the temperature. So that is, you know, absolute perfect, more than we could ask for Pinot Noir. So in 17, we have, you know, beautiful, bright acidity, nice ripe tannins, and I think, you know, they're starting to come out now. So I think what you'll see is, you know, some very nice, beautifully balanced wines that are going to age quite a long time.
For our listeners to learn about Coelho, what is your website?
www.coelhowinery.com.
Excellent. Thanks for taking the time, Chris.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a great day.
I'm with Dave Albrecht, and Dave owns
Schoonatal.
Schoonatal. Tell me about what you think about the 17 vintage.
Well, I think 17 is going to be another beautiful year that, for, you know, Willamette Valley Pinots. Since 14 and even through 18, we've had very similar growing years. Some a little bit warmer, some a little bit cooler, a little bit rain, but it's just been blessed from the last 5 years. I think, you know, 17s are going to hold up well. Some you're going to be able to drink now. Some you're going to want to lay down. So, yeah, it's just been very unique here the last 5 years with the vintages that we're having.
And again, what was your first vintage?
2014.
So you're still kind of figuring it all out to some degree, but making some damn good wine.
Well, thank you, yeah. So this 18 harvest was my fifth year. Completely sold out of my 14 and 15s.
That says something.
Yeah, it really is. And so now I'm showing my 16s, and I think they're lovely as well. And so I approach it from a, you know, I don't want to do anything to the wine. I mean, I just stay away from the winemaking. If I have to step in and do winemaking, then it's not the vintage or anything, the expression that we're looking for. It's just that terroir, the fruit, and the soils and everything about the viticulture side that helps me make the wine.
What's your website so our listeners can learn about you?
Oh, so it's www.schoonatal, S-C-H-O-N-E-T-A-L, sellers.com.
Dave, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Well, thank you. I hope you enjoy it. It's been a lot of fun. Well, they
learn more by visiting WillametteWines.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shearer. Copyright 2019.